or whether you're buried or not, they're sort of like, well, he's in the grave. You know, it was sort of this abstract idea. Jesus' soul was in the grave, and there's nothing in the grave. But his person was in the grave. When he met Mary outside the tomb, he says, "Touch me not, for I have not ascended yet to my Father." He had not yet gone to the Father. Well, when he gave up the ghost, where did the spirit go when Jesus died? Well, according to Ecclesiastes, when you die, your spirit goes to God. So obviously, the ghost that you give up, the spirit that you give up, is not the person. But it's a spirit. And so the spirit isn't you. And the spirit and the soul can be divided. Because Jesus' spirit went to God, and his soul went in the ground. And that's what happens when you die. Your spirit goes to God, and your soul is buried with your body. And well, you say, well, what if dogs rip up your body and the bones are scattered? Well, the soul is just there as a memory. God knows where the soul is, because the soul is also an abstract idea. But the abstract idea, which is you, because I'm a physical body, right? But there's an abstract idea, Paul, which is a person, which is in a body, but it's more than the body. I'm an abstract idea in that regard. So is every person. In God's perspective, the souls lie. You know, like he says, the blood of your brother cries out to me from the ground. When he spoke to Cain of the murder of Abel. So through many witnesses, the doctrine. Every place where death is taught in doctrine, it is taught as I have just taught it to you. There are a few passages that seem to be exceptions, but they're really not. It just rises from a misunderstanding of those passages. When I do the study on Luke, you can hear my explanation of Lazarus and the rich man. And when I do the study on some of the other Gospels, you hear all my explanations on any of the questions of anything that Jesus said. But it's basically Lazarus and the rich man and then the thief on the cross that people usually cite as examples contrary to the truth. But like I said, there's mitigating circumstances, one being a parable and another one being a part of a narrative in which Christ wasn't speaking in doctrine, but you know, the sentence might be punctuated incorrectly. As opposed to, you know, you're going to be with me in paradise today, what he's saying, I'm telling you, you will be with me in paradise. And if that goes over your head right now, let's just move on because I do not want to belabor that point. The dividing of asunder of soul and spirit means death. Death. And the joints and the marrow. Just divide your joints from your marrow. Ooh. It can cut flesh. It can cut spirit. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart deceives you. Tells you what I want this. But your heart is deceiving you. What you really want is something else. The Word of God discerns. I find that too. I tell people what the Word of God says, and then the thoughts and intents of their heart come forward. The real them is revealed. And I find out, oh, they don't believe in the Word of God. They believe in their own opinions. You know, I find out very quickly, oh, they are not students of the Bible, they're students of themselves or of some man. You know, they do not hear the apostles. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's what Jesus said. So neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. God sees everything. Every creature is manifest, fully revealed. All things are naked and open to his eyes. He sees it all. There's no secret deeds done in dark places that God does not see. There are no hidden things that do not come to light. Everything that is hidden will come to light. All the deeds of darkness which men have done in their dank, dark places, in their evil, wicked, iniquity way, he will reveal it. And they will pay. With whom we have to do, him with whom we have to do. So seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we hold fast our confession. Profession, confession. Same word as last time. we have this great high priest who's gone into heaven. Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. That is something that should give us courage to hold on to what we believe, to believe because of him. If we believe that God raised him from the dead, we know that he will also quicken our mortal bodies. We do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We don't have like an angel who'd never been a man. No, but it was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted in all points the same way we are. Everything we experience, Jesus was without sin, but still he was tempted. You know, there were, he drank, right? And it probably was tempting to, why not drink a whole lot? Get drunk. No, that would be sin. That would be too much. I should stay sober because that is what God wants us to be, sober. Eat up, pig out. Come on, enjoy yourself. You're the king of the world. It behooves us to be temperate in all things. Oh, look at her. Isn't she pretty? Whoever looks on a woman to lust after in his heart has already committed adultery with her or fornicated. So no, Jesus was tempted in the same points, but without sin. So he knows what the temptation is that we are under. And not that he had to do all that to really understand that, because God does understand, but he has been touched. He did that so that we would have greater confidence in him. It's one thing to just know that God is far above us and he knows everything about us and he understands, you know, not just because, look at, I'm weak. I'm not Christ. You know, I don't have like all this, you know, history of victory over sin. I've been a sinner. You know, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. But he knows the weakness of me. And I believe he will be there. And he is there. To hold me up. To make me go forth and conquer. And be victorious against all sins.